May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 587. Come, whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend, sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. 587.
Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 21. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men cast in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple, for to hear him. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, we are a company of poor sinners, each one of us the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, unclean and unrighteous altogether, as the prophet declares, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. And Lord, we painfully feel it. And we often have to cry out with the apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lord Jesus, thou art our only hope. All our hope is in thee. And we would cast all our cares upon thee, and we would commit our way unto thee, and we would trust also in thee. We pray for grace to let all fruitless searches go, which perplex and tease us, but desiring naught to know but a bleeding Jesus. We pray to be led and taught and guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, even this evening hour, we may feel the divine unction and power of the Holy Ghost in the pulpit and in the pew, to give a word to speak and to give a ear to hear and to give a heart to receive thy word. Oh, we do pray, yea, beseech thee, O Lord, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us. For without thee, O thou great God, we can do nothing. We cannot even aspire to a good wish. But great God, do come and do blow with the wind of thy spirit into our souls. Do come and grant those divine drawings of a heavenly Father. Do come and grant the sacred presence of the Lord Jesus in our midst, in our hearts, that we may catch a glimpse of him, that we may touch the hem of his garment, that we may draw from that sacred fullness that is in him. Do grant that we may be led to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, where sin was put away, where divine justice was satisfied, where God and sinners are reconciled. To see that place where grace abounds. Lord, we do pray for grace to look a little into the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, his perfect obedience, his everlasting righteousness, his glorious name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Lord, may we be given that appropriating faith to lay hold of that hope that is set before us in the gospel. Bless our beloved brethren, the deacons. Give them grace. Give them wisdom. Give them help. Make them of one mind and of one spirit. Bless this church. Grant that sacred, precious unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, that we may love each other, serve each other, bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We do pray that we may not love in word only, but in deed and in truth, that we may have that evidence that we are among that peculiar people, zealous of good works. Gracious God, incline thine ear, we do beseech of thee. Lead us forth in the footsteps of the flock. Bless the whole of this congregation. Work mightily, powerfully, and effectually among them to the glory of thy great name, to the good of precious souls. Lord, quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. Come and stand in our midst tonight. O Lord Jesus, we do beseech of thee. Come and graciously bless us with that spirit of true worship. O Lord, we do thank thee for all thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses that have passed before us in the way. But above all, we thank thee for the wonderful glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful sacred mystery of God manifest in the flesh, that wonderful precious truth that he was made of a woman and made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, and that he is our law fulfiller. We think, O Lord, of the wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. O most gracious God, do hear us. We do humbly beseech thee, and grant us a little sight by faith of the glory of our precious Redeemer. Grant that we may be led to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and that we may be given a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving for that dear, holy, precious God-man who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We pray, most gracious Lord, for thankful hearts, for every mercy of thy kind providence. We pray to be safely led through life's journey and safely unto thy heavenly kingdom. We pray for the little babes and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the rich blessing of the Lord may rest upon them. We pray for the young friends as they launch forth into life's journey, that thou wouldst go before them, help them, and graciously guide them, quicken their souls, bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. Be with them in all the paths of providence and supply all their many returning needs, whether it's in their education or whether regarding future employment or whether, O Lord, regarding a partner in life's journey. Grant them thy divine direction. Bless each and every one of us in the midst of the journey of life. Oh, give us wisdom and guidance and direction, and graciously lead us in the right way. We read in thy word, and he led them forth by the right way unto a city of habitation. Great God, lead us forth in that right way. We pray to be made more spiritually minded. We pray to be delivered from the temptations of the wicked one, from the power and from the dominion of sin. Great God, incline thine ear, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, against powers and principalities. Lord, the war is unequal. We cannot, O Lord, fight with the enemy. But Lord Jesus, we come to thee, for thou hast destroyed the works of the devil, and we look to thee to defeat him for us and to deliver us from temptation, for thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst bless those in the evening time of life's journey and its attendant weaknesses and infirmities. And as the outward man perisheth, may the inward man be renewed day by day, that we may be made more spiritually minded. Send out the glory and light of the gospel into this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and work. Thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Gather in precious souls, even as we read in the word, I will bring them from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. And thou hast said, and they shall come. Lord, we trust thee and we look to thee to revive thy Zion. We pray that prodigals may return and thy almighty arm may be stretched forth and precious souls may return unto the sanctuary. Great God, we do pray for thy Zion, for thy servants as they labour upon the walls of Zion, that they may dip their foot in oil and be made acceptable unto the brethren. Thy servants as they come in and out among this people, may they be blessed with light and understanding in thy word. And we pray that thou wouldst grant this people a living settled ministry, one of thy servants to come in and out among them and to feed them with knowledge and with understanding. And, O Lord God, we do pray in this dark and solemn day, thou wouldst send out the wonderful glory and light of the gospel in the length and breadth of our nation. We think also of those in other countries where thy name is despised and abhorred and hated, and thy people are persecuted and afflicted. Lord, send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. Help them in all their needs to look to thee and to cleave to thee. We pray for those that go out and minister unto them. And we think of James and Elsie Gudrin in Kenya. And we think of Ian Sadler at this time in the Congo. And we pray that thou wouldst watch over them, keep them and preserve them, and help them to speak thy glorious truth in those places for thy great namesake. Lord, as we turn to thy word this evening hour, we pray that thou wouldst come and open thy word and come and open our hearts and come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 976. Jesus is a wise physician, skillful and exceeding kind. Through him sinners find remission and enjoy sweet peace of mind. 976.
Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I direct your attention to the chapter we read, the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll read verses 34 and 35 for our text. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. The teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the apostles are exceedingly searching, very pointed and very instructive to us as to what lies before us. As we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 9, as it is appointed unto man once to die, so after death, the judgment. It's very clearly set before us in the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus here, he says, take heed to yourselves. He's portrayed to us here some of those things that shall come to pass. Some of them have come to pass. Indeed, it's very evident, if you look at verse 24, that that has come to pass. And that is appointed to us that we are coming closer to the end. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, that is the Jews. And that, of course, happened. It happened about 70 years after Christ, when Titus overran Jerusalem and took it down stone by stone, and slaughtered the inhabitants and scattered the Jews into all nations. And they remained there until comparatively recently. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the Jews are in Israel. In a quite miraculous way, they have returned to Israel. And according to what we read in Holy Scripture, it does appear that the Lord will work mightily among the Jews when they return into their own land. And we pray and we watch for that to be fulfilled. But all these things are pointing that we are coming closer to the end of time. And the Lord Jesus, he says here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The great question for each one of us is, does the word of God dwell in your heart, in my heart? Has the word of God been breathed into your soul? Has the word of God been etched with a pen? As the apostle himself says, not with pen and ink, but by the finger of the living God upon the fleshy tables of the heart. Has the word of God been written in our hearts? It's one thing to say we read the word of God, we study the word of God, and we're familiar with the word of God and with the doctrine of truth, and all that is very good, very proper, very right in its place. It's right that we should teach our children, our young people, from the Holy Scriptures and the doctrine of truth contained in the Holy Scriptures. But that is not sufficient. We need the word of God sealed into our hearts. I believe it's the Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, he speaks of the word of God and the living power of the word of God. and the quickening power of the Word of God. He says in the 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See the effect of the Word of God sown in the heart and the unfeigned love of the brethren. We mentioned that word in John 1 John this morning. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do we have that witness in our hearts? Do we have that true love to the brethren? See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. So what he's saying here is that those that are born again, they will love the Lord's people. They will love the Word of God. They will love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Has that word entered with divine power and energy into our hearts? It's a vital, essential question. You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Take heed to yourselves. There are many people, and they're familiar with the scriptures and familiar with the services, and they often look at other people, and they fit perhaps a sermon to other people, and the minister's preaching a word, and they say, well, that's for him and that's for them. What about you? What's for you? What has entered into your heart? Has the word of truth and its living power entered into your soul? That is the vital point. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. What a solemn thought, isn't it? To be surfeiting, it means to be eating. And of course, drunkenness, drinking. And so that we give ourselves over unto that and become infatuated with that. Instead of, as it were, giving ourselves unto the Word of God, unto prayer, we become, you know, the cares of this life. They draw us away. The cares of business, they draw us away from spiritual things. The cares of this life. You know what those cares are in your life. But, you know, we need to keep things in their right place. When something takes over our life, I believe if the Lord loves you, he will deal with that problem. He may deal with it in a very, very solemn way, in bringing various things into your life, into your business, into your circumstances. Because the word of God is very clear. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it may be that because we've allowed things to, we've let go, and we're no longer, you think of when Christ was first made precious to you, when he answered your prayers, and when you were in a very needy state and condition, and you were crying continually unto the Lord. But now perhaps you've settled down, and perhaps things are much quieter. And you, as it were, you're getting carried away with the things of this life. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. But there is wrong with surfeiting, the glutton and the wine bibber. We can get carried away with these things. And so, as the Lord Jesus is warning us here, so that we're not watchful and we're not careful. You know, we need to examine ourselves. And sometimes when we come to the sanctuary, we need to examine ourselves. As the apostle says, to see whether you be in the faith or no. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. You know, in the parable of the sower, the Lord Jesus, he speaks of the sower going forth to sow, and some fell upon good ground, some fell upon stony ground, and all those various places where the seed of the word fell. And with some it became unprofitable. With some it lasted for a short season, and then because it had no root, it withered away. With some, the cares of this life and of business, etc., they choked the word. So they became unprofitable. You know, these things are written for our instruction in the ways of righteousness and in the ways of truth. And the Lord Jesus, he says in that parable, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. These warnings that we are given. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Behold, I come as a thief. Many times in the teachings of our Lord Jesus and in the records of the apostles, that word is repeated. I come as a thief. Why is it repeated and repeated and repeated? Because when the Lord comes, when Jesus comes again, when men will not be looking for it, he will suddenly come in power and in great glory. With all his holy angels, he will come to judge the world in righteousness. Again, the Apostle Peter, very solemnly in his second epistle, he warns us of that day when Christ will come again. And he warns us of the spirit of the world. And in that spirit of the world, they say, where is the promise of his coming? For everything continues just as it was since the beginning of creation until now. And so they were, as it were, laughing at the preachers of righteousness and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Everything carries on just as it was. And what you're preaching and what you're teaching is not true. And then we are told, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, he's speaking of the flood in the day of Noah, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In the days of Noah, it is believed that Noah was about 120 years in building the ark. And during that time, he was preaching to men. He's called in the word of God a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to men and he was warning them that he was building this ark because God was going to destroy the world with a great flood. And we read they laughed him to scorn, they mocked him. That's exactly what men and women do today. When we warn them of the great day of judgment, they laugh And they mock. You don't believe that, do you? And the Apostle Peter here, he goes on, he says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." That's the promise of the second coming of Christ, when he comes to gather the church unto himself. And when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. And that day is coming to every one of us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, of course, the Arminian and the, what I think could properly be called the pseudo-Calvinist, they would look at that word and they say, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. My dear beloved friends, the word of God never contradicts itself. And when it says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, it's referring to the election of grace. It's referring to the church of God, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son. He's not willing that any of those should perish. This world will not depart on fire until the last vessel of mercy has been gathered into that eternal covenant, born again of the Holy Spirit, brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And when that has happened, then the archangel's trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. What the apostle says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Who's he writing to? The church of God, the Christian church. But is long-suffering to usward, to the Christian church. Not willing that any of those precious souls that were redeemed by Christ, he's not willing that any of them should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then he goes on, but the day of the Lord will come. And again, this emphasis, as a thief in the night. It will come very suddenly. God doesn't waste his words. And right through the New Testament, those words are continually used, a thief in the night. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Where would you be if the Lord was to come this night? If the heavens should pass away with a great heat, where would you be? How do things stand between your soul and God? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We are instructed on several occasions in Holy Scripture that when that day comes, that men shall be so terrified as they see the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, coming in power and in great glory, and every eye shall see him. Mark that. See, we're to take heed, be not deceived. Many shall say that I am Christ, or Christ is here, or Christ is there. Go not after them. When Christ comes, every eye shall see him. It won't be done in secret. And it says that men shall run into the dens and caves of the earth, and they shall call upon the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Take heed. But of course, the dens, the caves, the rocks will all be dissolved. He says here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto. You know, the day of Christ, when he comes in power and in great glory, will be a most wonderful and a most blessed day for the child of God. They shall hear that glorious voice of the Saviour. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Surely there cannot be a more blessed, more sacred, precious word than come, to be heard by a poor sinner from the mouth of the eternal God. Now, they will have heard that voice already. My sheep, they know my voice and they follow me. And in that great day, when the living child of God hears that voice of Christ with power and great glory, reaching into their very hearts, come, ye blessed of my Father, their heart will be filled with such joy and peace in believing. But then, in that same day, we read that he will say to all those that know not our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Just as there cannot be a more blessed word for a poor sinner to hear from the eternal God, the voice, come, come. So surely there cannot be a more solemn, more awful word for a poor sinner to hear from the eternal God, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What a solemn thought it is. You know, you think of the words of our text, take heed, therefore. And where do you stand? Where do you stand when it comes to the matters of eternity? You're here, but for a moment. All those of us who are getting older, every one of us would say to you how quickly life has gone. When you're a young man, you think, oh, well, I've got all this life before me. That's a long time. But once you've come through life and you look back and you think it's gone, it's just gone. And where is it gone? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, he's writing to Christian believers. He says, nevertheless, we, that's a Christian believer, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That means because this world remains, though this world is so wicked and rebellious against the eternal God, because it remains, it's because there are yet precious souls to be gathered unto Christ. And that is the long suffering of God. You see, my beloved friends, may we take heed to these things. In the book of the Revelation, in several places, we have the Lord Jesus Christ revealed as the great judge of all the earth. My mind in particular at this moment, it goes to the chapter 20 in the book of the Revelation. And we read that John, in a vision, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great." This is the day that is before each one of us. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And just previously in that chapter, in verse 6, he says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." So the great and the vital question and point is this: what is the first resurrection? It's when you're born again of the Holy Ghost. That's the first resurrection. When the Holy Spirit quickens your soul and raises you from spiritual death into spiritual life. That's the almighty act of the divine person of the Holy Ghost that does that. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." You see, my beloved friends, we are instructed in these things, in the ways of righteousness and of truth. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, again, we've emphasized to you that word which comes so frequently in the New Testament, "Behold, I come as a thief." And here it is put in a slightly different way: "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." You know, you set a snare for an animal or for a bird. You put it in a place where you know that animal or bird is going to do, and you disguise it so that they cannot see it, and they run headlong into it, and the snare has taken them, and they cannot get out of that snare. And the Lord is saying here, that's what it's going to be like in the end of the world. "For as a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." And here he says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always." These are the directions of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." I think in virtually every instance in the scriptures where Christ is set before us as the judge of all the earth, I think in almost every occasion he is called the Son of Man. And that term, that name given to us concerning Christ, the Son of Man, is highlighting the fact that the Son of God became a real man and lived here upon this earth as a man. And that same blessed Redeemer that lived here as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that same blessed Redeemer who paid the redemption price, who suffered and bled and died to redeem his people, and he gave his life a ransom. What does it mean when he says, "I lay down my life for my friends"? Well, it would be utter nonsense to say that the Son of God laid down his divine life God cannot die. It's an utter impossibility. But the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, the Son of Man, he could suffer. He could bleed. He could die for the sins of his people. I lay down my life for my friends. You see, not only did he lay down his life, he said, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He had power to lay that life down. He said, no man taketh my life from me. Some professed Christian ministers would like to portray the Lord Jesus in dying in utter weakness. It wasn't like that. He died because he would. No man taketh my life from me. When he comes out of the Garden of Gethsemane and they come with swords and staves to take him, and we read they fell backward. Why is that recorded? To show us that he voluntarily gave his life. He allowed them to take him. When Peter took the sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, that the Lord Jesus has put thy sword up in its sheath, the cup that my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? It is recorded to show us that he voluntarily gave his life. He allowed them. He said to Peter, could I not have called on 12 legions of angels? I could have destroyed all these men. But this cup that my Father has given me, that I have to drink, the cup of suffering and sorrow, and the cup of agony and grief, and the cup of death, I've got to drink it to redeem my people. The Lord Jesus is like we read of Boaz, a mighty man of wealth. That's who the Lord Jesus is. And he gave his life, that holy human life that he assumed in the womb of the Virgin. He gave that life, a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. He died for our sins and he rose again for our justification. And he's ascended bodily into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, I love that. I was looking at it just recently in the Epistle to the Hebrews, where the apostle, he sets the Lord Jesus before us. He says he has the power of an endless life. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 7, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it goes on in that same chapter in verse 24, but this man, notice the emphasis, but this man, the glorious, holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens. Such an high priest have we. Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty Redeemer. Every soul that the Father has given him, he's redeemed them. He's paid the redemption price. Not one of them can be lost. Not one of them can be sent to eternal perdition. Why? Because Christ has redeemed them. Christ has saved them. Now, are you in that number? One hymn writer, he says, numbered among them would I be, now and to eternity. Would you be numbered among the living family of God? And the Lord's people, those that are in Christ, those that are saved with an everlasting salvation, those that are redeemed. The redemption price is paid. I think it's William Gadsby in one of his hymns. He speaks about the awful thing of saying that one of those precious souls that Christ has redeemed can ever be lost. It Cannot be. Cannot be. And that if the Lord has sealed into your heart that precious truth of the love of Christ, shed it abroad in your heart. You can never be lost. The mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. It can't be. Because Christ has redeemed you. Your life is secure in Christ. You may say, I feel everything but secure. I feel so full of doubts and fears. But our security, our safety, our redemption is in Christ. It's not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his abundant mercy, it's in Christ. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. The weapon of all prayer, and pray always. The Lord Jesus, he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray always. To take the weapon of all prayer. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is the path that the Lord's children tread. Looking unto Jesus, casting all your care upon him. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy. You won't say, I keep praying, I keep looking, I keep watching, I keep seeking. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are very encouraging words. Ask, and you shall find. Ask, seek, knock. That's the exhortation from our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask, seek, knock. You know that is found here in the Gospel according to Luke. And the Lord Jesus, he gives that exhortation. And his words are words of truth. He speaks of a man who is retired at midnight. He's retired with his family into bed, and a friend comes and knocks on his door, and he said, I'm in the journey, and I have nothing to set before him, and he from within shall answer, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Just mark that. Mark the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no ambiguity whatsoever in those words. It doesn't say if or but or perhaps or maybe. Nothing whatsoever of that nature. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What encouraging words. He will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And that those wonderful words of grace. Ask, ye shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. You see, so the Lord Jesus here in the Word of God not only warns us of the solemn consequences of our sin, that's why you've got to die, sinner. It's because you are a sinner, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why you've got to die. You might say, well, I've always been to chapel. I live an upright life. I do all the good I can. I don't injure anybody else, my dear beloved friends. You're a sinner. You're born in sin. You're shapen in iniquity. That's your very condition by your nature. Therefore, you will die. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? You must die. The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, he says there, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to give account. We've got to give an account unto Almighty God. In looser circles, it's often spoken of as, they call it, the doctrine of man's responsibility. That is totally alien to Scripture. I do not read that anywhere in Holy Scripture. And there is a complete different meaning to the word responsibility and accountability. It's a completely different thing altogether. But in evangelical circles, that is the word that is constantly used. And what is the inference and what is the implication of the word responsibility? There must be a response in you. You are responsible. You know, that's a wrong word. You are accountable. It's like an accountant when he makes up his books and when he does his accounts. He gets all the figures to tally so he knows exactly where he is. That is what God will do in that great day. We read in the prophet Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The Arminian will tell you that's a sinner. He's in the valley of decision. He must make a decision for Christ. And that's how we'll interpret that word. What we have set before us there is a day of judgment. And it says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. If you come to a court of law, who is the decision that stands in a court of law? Is it the criminal in the dock? Or is it the judge on the bench? Well, of course it's the judge on the bench. It's his court. His word has authority and power. And that word in the prophet Joel is pointing to the day of judgment. And the multitudes standing there in the valley of decision. And the decision is not theirs. It's the judge on the throne. It's the decision of Christ. He will separate. It's what the Lord Jesus, he tells us in the Matthew chapter 25. And clearly there, he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them. You see, it's his word that has power. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. It's the act of the great King of Kings, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And we shall stand or fall by him. In this chapter, in verse 8, in Luke 21, we read, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Take heed that ye be not deceived. And when I was reading that on the past day, thinking of this service, you see this, take heed ye be not deceived. My mind, it went to the first epistle of John and the warning that he gives us there in the fourth chapter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then he gives us here in the Word of God the way that we are to judge and to discern between that which is of the Spirit and that which is of the flesh, and that which is a false prophet, and that is the soundness of their doctrine, especially the doctrine of Christ. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So he gives us there how we are to judge whether these spirits, whether a person, a minister, is sound in the faith. It's according to what he says. He goes on in that very same chapter in verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. See, be not deceived. Where there is the work of the Holy Ghost, there'll be sound doctrine. The Christ that the Holy Ghost reveals to a poor sinner is the same Christ he reveals to every poor sinner. He is the eternal Son of God who was manifest in the flesh, who became a real man, body and soul, and lived here upon earth as a real man. He fulfilled, he magnified, he honoured that holy, righteous law of God as a man. That's what Christ has done. In that holy life of Christ. I think we said it this morning. The life of Christ is as important as the death and sufferings of Christ. It's essential to salvation. In that holy life of Christ, in that perfect obedience of Christ, in that bringing in of everlasting righteousness by Jesus, the Son of God, that's the righteousness of the church. It is portrayed in Scripture as the robe of his righteousness. The robe of his righteousness. It clothes the child of God. When the Holy Spirit enters your heart, when he quickens your soul, when he brings you to a knowledge of the truth, and he shows you where you are as a poor sinner, and he shows you that Jesus is the only Saviour of sinners. That is the work of the Holy Ghost. The inward work of the Spirit. And he reveals unto you that holy God-man. He works precious faith in your heart. He reveals unto you the holy God-man, the man Christ Jesus. You may have to pass through some very great trials and temptations for the Lord to teach you this. Just after I was baptized, I never even realized it was a temptation, but being very young in the way, but I was sorely tempted of the devil that Jesus was not the Son of God. And you know, friends, wherever I looked, I searched and I looked and I prayerfully reading the Bible, I couldn't find it anywhere. And with constantly this temptation coming that he's not the Son of God. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. He's not a divine person. That's nonsense. That was the order of the temptation that I was under. But it brought me into such spiritual darkness and bondage. Until in the early hours of one morning, I was sitting up reading. It was when I was still single. And I was reading in Proverbs chapter 8. And I came to those beautiful words. I was set up from the beginning, from everlasting, before ever the earth was. And it was just as if the scales fell off my eyes. I had such a sight of that glorious, precious, eternal Saviour who always had been, who always with me, who is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, that's this Saviour. That's this mighty Redeemer. And that's what the Holy Spirit reveals unto you. This is the eternal Rock of Ages. He's not just a man. He's not just a good man. He's the almighty God-man, the eternal Son of the Father, manifest in the flesh. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. May the Lord add his blessing.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £700, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. 676.
gracious and most merciful Lord God, do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love all that has been amiss in thine holy eyes. Do take us each to our homes in peace and in safety, and grant that there may be something that shall abide. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.